Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one of the great joys of being a parent is watching your newborn child, that little one, grow up, especially during those first years when so many changes occur, those first moments that are so memorable. Like the first time they turn their head, when they can't even quite see yet out of those little eyes, but they hear your voice. They recognize you. They turn toward you. Or the first time when they can see and you walk into the room and those eyes focus on you and their face lights up with a smile when they see mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. Then there's those first teeth, those first steps, and then those first words, mama, dada. It's amazing how much they learn just from watching, listening to their parents. And before we know it, that little baby that used to talk with moans and gurgles and fussy cries are now using words to tell us how they feel, what they see around them, and what they want. And in those early years, they're not afraid to tell mom and dad what they want. And we as parents don't mind them asking, usually. In their utter dependence upon mom and dad to give them what they need, they let us know without hesitation what it is they want. And knowing that they can't care for themselves, well, we take care of them. Why? Because we love that little child who depends so much on mom and dad. You know, that picture of that trusting child to a loving parent, it's like a picture, really, of how it first was in the garden with Adam and Eve, walking and talking with God. The first children of creation, they went about daily life, trusting in God's care and provision for them and talking freely with God face to face. But that all changed, didn't it, when they put their trust elsewhere, in the words of a serpent, seeking their independence from the one who made them. The relationship that was once natural, well, it became unnatural. And instead of trusting in God, that trust turned into unbelief. And that dependence turned into wanting to live life apart from God. Once walking and talking with God as children, we became strangers and aliens, seeking our own way, deaf to God's voice, and talking instead to idols made with our own hands. Yet God did not abandon us. He did not give up on us. He didn't disown us. Instead, God reclaimed us through Jesus, and He made you and me His child, restoring the relationship that was lost by our first parents. Our Heavenly Father now cares for us. He is caring for us as we are now in Christ. And He beckons us to ask Him for those things that we truly need. Just like that little child talking to his father. And so Jesus teaches us to pray. We find Jesus Himself praying throughout His entire earthly ministry. The only begotten Son, entrusting Himself to His Father's care, seeking always to do His Father's will, and also praying for the needs of others. And that way in which Jesus prayed to His Father most certainly prompted that disciple's question, Lord, teach us to pray. That manner of prayer of a trusting son talking to his loving father made a deep impression on that disciple. And so Jesus teaches his disciples, his children, to pray. And how did he start them out? Because how you start says everything about the one who's praying and the one you're praying to. And Jesus starts us out, our Father. Our Father. That is profound. I mean, Jesus is inviting you and me, his disciples, into the same relationship to God that he himself has as sons and daughters. The prayer that Jesus was taught was pointing them to what his reconciling death on the cross would do for them, would do for you and me. That you and I once again would walk and talk with God as sons and daughters. And what Jesus inaugurated in his baptism was completed on his cross. And what Jesus completed and accomplished on his cross, he delivers to you and to me in our baptism. So now we're no longer strangers in prayer, talking to a distant and an unapproachable God. But you are now sons and daughters of the living God who loves you in the most profound way. God handed over his only Son into death so that you and I, who were once dead in our trespasses and sins, dead to God, would now be made alive together in Christ. God has forgiven you all of your sins. And now he invites you and me to live right now in that intimate relationship between a trusting child and a loving father. The practice of prayer has always been one of the marks of a disciple. I mean, if you really want to know how to be a true and growing disciple, look up any book and the number one on the list, what is it? It's daily prayer. I mean, it makes sense. After all, isn't it natural for a loving relationship that you would talk to each other between a child and a parent, listening to each other? And yet, if we base who we are, the quality of our relationship to another based upon how we communicate with each other, how does that bring comfort? How does that give us hope and assurance? Instead, God calls us to evaluate our relationship upon the promises that he makes to you and me in his word and delivers to us in his son Jesus. Prayer is not to become a spiritual barometer. If we do that, the trap is already laid for us into thinking that somehow God is more pleased with me when we pray more often or pray a certain way or use certain techniques. And on the flip side, God is not pleased with me when I don't pray enough or if I forget to pray or, heaven forbid, I just don't feel like praying at all. If that's the case, how are you doing? What's your barometer reading right now? Who are you talking to when you get anxious? Who are you putting your trust into? See, when we try to evaluate and approach God with that kind of thinking, that's not a free relationship between two loving people. It's enslavement. It's more like the relationship to a taskmaster who's always looking over our shoulders with that critical, scornful eye. How are we doing? But Jesus, my friends, has freed us from that. You and me, from this kind of thinking that we so easily fall into and others try to get us to slip into. But your baptism, that's where we look towards for certainty that we have the ear of our Father who is in heaven, regardless of how we feel, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and He invites us to open our lips. And He even opens our lips for us when we don't know how or what to pray, or even when we don't even feel like praying. Children ask the craziest things of their parents sometimes, don't they? And for my kids, it's usually what they want to have for dinner or what they want to bring home as a pet. And no, you can't have chocolate cake for dinner, and the snakes stay outside. But you know, at least they have the freedom, the safety, the comfort to ask. And you know, good parents, wise parents, well, we don't always give our children what they want. And loving parents try to give the children, well, what they need. And that Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught His disciples, that He teaches us, does just that. It teaches God's children to ask for what they truly need. The Lord's Prayer immediately reminds us of who we are in Christ, children talking to our Father and desiring to honor His name. We want what our Heavenly Father wants, what loving child, trusting child wouldn't want that. And so we pray that His kingdom would come. And we in faith trust that He will provide all that we need for daily life. That our Heavenly Father will take care of us. And we confess our need for forgiveness as flawed children to our God, who is anxious to forgive. He doesn't keep track of all of our sins that we readily and also unknowingly commit. As St. Paul writes, He's erased that record of debt, of sins that are held against us, by nailing it to the cross of His Son, so that you now are clean and you're free to do for others what God has done for you, to be a forgiver. And knowing our weakness, the weakness in our flesh, we ask that our Father would protect us from ourselves and protect us from every evil that tempts us, tempts you and me every day. And to these requests, our good and loving Father listens and He answers them and He's ready to hear them again. A relationship marked with love and trust, it gives freedom, and it gives the freedom to be bold and honest, to be yourself, to ask for the things that you want, the things that you desire, and the things that you need. And our gracious Father welcomes that kind of boldness and honesty, openness, when He invites you and me to pray, just like that persistent neighbor knocking at his friend's door at midnight. Or like Abraham, who was counting on God's grace, which gave him the boldness to pray on behalf of wicked Sodom and Gomorrah. And he didn't have to just stop at 10 righteous people. He could have kept going because he knew who he was praying to, a gracious God who longs to forgive. So ask. Ask Him. Ask your Father boldly and honestly for those things that you need, because your Father is a giver of good gifts and He doesn't hold anything back, giving you and I just what we need. And He welcomes you and I to ask for whatever it is we desire, knowing that we have a loving Father in heaven who cares for you and me. Wonderful freedom. Wonderful relationship that God invites us to daily as His children. And this morning, he cares for you and I right here and right now by listening to you and me and by talking to you and me, knowing just what we need. And he talks to you in the words of absolution, forgiving you, his baptized children, all your sins. And he feeds you. He feeds you this morning here at this table with his son's body and blood, nourishing our faith, giving us the assurance that we are forgiven children. We have our Father's ear this morning, and he, with open arms, welcomes us to walk with him and talk with him in this life and ask him for whatever we need. And he doesn't hold anything back, not even his son, for your sake. In the name of Jesus, amen.